Pod Clubhouse.
This is Caroline.
And this is Aisha.
And this is RuPaul Drag Race All-Stars Season 5, Episode 6.
The Charles Family Backyard Ball.
What do you think about this one, Aish? What was your overall feel?
I loved it. I thought it was a really good episode. Gave me all the feels this week and brought me to some really, really strong emotional pull. And just like, I don't know, I just felt like really, really soft and warm and fuzzy inside after watching this one. Did you feel that way?
I did. I thought that, you know, like all reality shows, once you get down to the final five, I feel like it is a solid group. You know, there are very few weak links. You're going to end up with really solid challenges that are really exciting to watch because nobody is this outlier that's so horrible. You know, you have a really solid competition going on and really good, like everyone bringing it their all.
They're bringing all of the greatness that they all have to drag. And it's like I said from the beginning, they really all have this bond, you know, and you really see it at the end. And it's kind of great, like as the people start peeling off, it's almost like the ones that have caused the trouble peel off. What is it? The motto, the edges and the fray, the whole business. Like
you're like, you know, that thing about edges and fray, that thing.
That's what this is. That thing
with the edges and the fray.
You know, well, just like that, the wheat from the chaff. What is
we can
the
say
thing?
That the
know.
Cream rises to the top. The How about that?
You know, there we go. Do you know? Let me just make a side note.
Oh,
that
side
my
note.
Dad is not from the United States, so.
So you have I to explain that funny thing though about how your dad's not from the United States. So why does that matter?
Because he fucked up all the colloquialisms and the things that Americans know, like all of the sayings. Like he never got any of them right. And so as I was growing up, I'd hear them in the wrong way. And so I thought that was the way you said them until I met my husband. And he was like, what the fuck are you saying? He's like, are you from here? And I was like, yes, I was born in Houston.
He just always said all those.
But he like said all those sayings, American sayings or whatever, colloquialisms, like the wrong way. Like
that's
he'd be
funny.
Like, instead of beat a dead horse, it'd be like beat a dead cow. Or like, I don't know, separate from the wheat from the chaff. I didn't even know what chaff was. Or I don't think he even said wheat or chaff. Anyway, y'all. I'm sorry. But my point is that other people kind of have fallen away. And like now you've got this group that's super tight knit and they're really, really like loving being with each other and still also competing, you know? So I don't know. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the Fierce Five, as they call themselves.
I loved when they called themselves the Fierce Five. It reminded me of Fox Force Five from Pulp Fiction.
That's right. Yeah.
Fox Force Five.
Fox Force Five.
I want one of them to do the little joke. Remember?
Right.
The mama ketchup and the daddy ketchup and the baby ketchup was lagging behind.
Isn't it a tomato?
Not even saying it right. Yeah.
Are you from here?
I'm actually not.
Are you
My people
from
are from Lithuania.
Are you from Lithuania?
You're right.
It's okay, like if you are.
The mama
it's a baby,
tomato
mama,
and the baby daddy and, tomato and the yes. baby tomato. Right?
And you said the punchline
but
before.
I said the Oh, it's going to be that kind of podcast, huh?
We're not drunk, ladies and gentlemen.
I promise you.
I've only had water and lemonade today.
Boring.
I'm such a boring, boring bitch.
See, but, and I snorted some Coke before we started, so that's my excuse.
Well, it should make you excited.
You're like, man, without me.
Just Coke, what?
I know. Anyway. Oh, my God. All right, so let's launch into this episode. We have this aftermath. And I tell you, Aish, you know, as much as I was in it with the India Alexis shenanigans, when it started up this episode, I was like, that old thing again?
That was my entire feeling the whole episode. It would not die. Like, are we done talking about this? Or has the producers just been like, let's keep feeding them information so they're still talking about it? Because there's a little bit of manipulation here. I'm feeling.
You think? I don't recall anyone else being able to leave messages and gifts.
Come on now.
What?
I
mean, way to continue to just drag it out.
Hey, guys, we just found these notes. They're just magically placed
Juju
out
be,
here.
I don't get no notes. What a bitch don't leave me a present.
You would be that. I would be that same person. I'd be like, oh, okay. Oh, so it's like that? Okay, I'm not going to remember you.
So we're down to our top five, our fierce five, Aish.
Fierce five. Also, like Alexa said, super diverse, which I love. Don't you think? It's like
Yeah.
you got a Puerto Rican, you got a Filipino, you've got a white queen, a black queen. Who else is left? Oh, two white queens, a black queen, a Puerto Rican, and a Filipino. Now that is a diverse top five. I love it.
And I feel like that also age-wise and experience-wise, we're spanning, you know, a lot of different ages.
Yeah, ages and shapes too,
Yeah.
sizes.
Yeah.
You know what I
All of
mean?
those things. Good
Really?
diversity.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel good that we said Jujubee, Blair, Shay, Ms. Cracker, and Alexis would be top five because I mean they're the ones, man. They're the ones that this whole time seem to just shine.
Well, I feel like they deserve it. It's sad when someone goes home for something so stupid and it's just like a technicality, or somebody picks that person to go home because they're just mad at them or whatever the case may be, like some strange way. But I feel like this top five, they all deserve to be there, and it all really worked out well. So I'm excited about it.
I am too. I like this group. And every single one of them, you know, was fantastic in this episode. But man, Aish, my VIP always is Jujubee.
Did you be? I knew you were
Oh
going to say that.
my God.
I know because of the one line that she said.
Okay, well, let's see if we got it right. So I was in that confessional part when she was like, oh, I totally got this. It's not going to be any problem. I'm going to be like the champion. Then she's like, bitch, I'm totally scared.
Bitch.
I'm totally scared.
I hate this challenge.
I'm lying. I'm
No,
scared. I'm going to poop
she was.
myself.
I'm going to poop myself. Yeah.
I was like, Jujubee. Oh my God. I had to rewind it because my kids thought it was so funny. And she's like, I'm so confident. Bitch, I'm lying. I'm scared. I'm going to poop myself. Like, it was, that was the best.
Comedy gold. I mean, she is like, I don't know how she it's just like her, you know, like the way she just talks, and it's just the funniest shit ever. I mean, I could listen to her confessionals all day long.
I
So,
love it. I
yeah,
absolutely love
definitely
it.
funny.
All right, let's get into this maxi challenge. So there was two looks that they had to do.
Okay, so two looks we have. The first one was the country cousin realness, which I thought was hilarious because the whole term of play cousins is definitely something that I experience in East Texas with my mom's side of the family
Tell me,
because
what's
they
play
are
cousins? I don't even know what this
like,
means.
it's like a thing, I think, in Black culture. We say it a lot. Like, play cousin is like, it's not a real cousin, but you just treat them like cousins because they're around all the time.
Okay.
So that's your play cousin. So like we cousins, right? No, actually. And then you think about it and you're like, are we related? And then you think, you know, I don't even think we're related at all, because you're thinking you were actually cousins with somebody, like third, fourth, fifth cousins or something, but you find out you're not even related. They're just around all the damn time, just eating your food. That's the play cousin.
I
So I'm
love that.
sure in your huge family, you've got plenty of play cousins that were friends of your cousins that were just around all the time, you know?
Yeah,
And so that would
absolutely.
be it. Usually they're not the most, how do I put this? They're the ones you're kind of embarrassed about. Let's just say that, you know? So they just come in there and
They're
you're
the
like, oh,
hanger-ons.
yeah, they're the hanger-ons. Yeah,
That's
exactly.
hilarious. So the I was excited for that one because I felt like it was giving them a chance to show their performance skills. You know, let's get silly, let's get funny, you know, really a chance to express yourself. And then that second part.
The second part was original high fashion look that they needed to put together with items found in a typical backyard or a backyard barbecue type setting, which is very Project Runway-esque, right?
Very. This was the unconventional challenge. That's what they always
Exactly.
call it.
That's what it is.
Yeah. And I was like really looking forward to seeing that portion of it, the different items that they chose to use and how they were going to deconstruct them. That was probably one of the bummers of this challenge was that they didn't actually focus very much on what the different materials were that they chose or like how they were going to try to manipulate them at all. You just had to kind of just watch as they were just having conversation.
Well, I mean, I figured as long as they like stuck by the rules somehow and they used those materials in some way, their only like thing was like come out and look pretty freaking decent. And
Agree.
so They didn't really spend much time on that.
They always get nailed on Project Runway if you choose things that are already standard pieces of material. Like if you choose something like a tablecloth, that's really right. just like a big rectangle of material versus if you deconstruct a lawn chair or you use the plastic from the kiddie pool or like those kinds of things. Like you're always going to get frown nailed for having the... They're just like, you know, okay, so you just took napkins and glued them together. Like, that was just fabric.
That was always the kiss of death. Like, don't you dare pick up that napkin and make it into a dress. You better use the lampshade and paste them together, like, or hot glue.
Or like, take the candy. Or, like, why did no one use barbecue sauce as their makeup or whatever? Like, these are the things that were key at Project Runway. Not the case at RuPaul's house.
No. And, by the way, side note, how the hell... If Jujubee was so scared of this challenge, how did she come up with that dress?
I know.
How did you sew that?
I agree.
You and I both do not. Well, okay.
No, I do not sew.
I sew. I can sew. I can. I can. No, I can hold. I can sew. I can hold.
Wow, that was a Freudian slip there.
Freudian slip. Wow. Okay, I can sew holes like in your clothes. Like, you know, if you had a hole in your jeans or your
okay, okay,
pants,
hold up. Hold up. Now, the fact that you think that you call that sewing, that's called mending.
What? That's putting a thread in a piece of needle. Oh my
See,
god.
You don't even know any of the words. I call total bullshit. That's just mending. I can mend a hole. I mean, I can turn mending. The thing inside out and, you know, stitch it closed. I can do that.
But I do not know how to use a sewing machine.
Okay, then you don't know how to sew.
Okay. Well, I don't know how to create a damn outfit.
No.
So that's one thing. So if Jujubee doesn't know how to do that, how the fuck did she come out with a full dress? That's what I would like to know.
That they were just bitching about the little bit of a rumpled seam.
I mean, she's lucky she came out with something to wear that didn't look like she wrapped it like a bed sheet.
I thought she looked fantastic.
I did too. But we'll get to that. I just thought that was very like interesting that there were queens that did not know how to sew. Yet they had complete looks.
I agree with you very, very much. This was a little bit of a curiosity about how things happen behind the scenes. But you've told me that some queens take care of their wardrobe themselves. Like Shay, I mean, obviously, my goodness, with her theater background, that was like crazy town. Versus some actually hire designers. Like if you have money, you can get people to make things for you. And so it really just depends on where you are coming from with your drag background here. Like what's your history? You know, why are you here? How did you get here? And it definitely was more advantageous to the scrappier drag queens. Because if you're somebody who just had some money and purchased outfits or got someone to make outfits for you, then this was going to be harder for you.
Okay, but let's say Jujubee, she's coming from season 2.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that she's been doing drag a long time.
Yeah.
She has the money now to possibly have people to make her clothes. But there's got to be a point where they were saying, like, when they're broke, when you're starting out, like, say a Blair that is recent to drag a couple years, 2, 3, 4 years probably. Maybe even less. Those are the queens that are broke in the beginning, unless they have family money or somebody to kind of help them get started. You've got to scrap it all together, right?
See,
figure out how
never...
to hot glue some shit and put your outfits together.
I would always be somebody who started off with like a base dress, right? Like I would go find something that was like the right shape or something, right? And then I would add to it or, you know, maybe cut sleeves off or, you know, do whatever. But I would never be someone who just starts from a piece of fabric. Like I would never be that person.
Well, that's truly adventurous, I think, you know, like to just go for it and be like, start from scratch. But you've done that before in your regular life. I see you doing it all the time.
I do that in my regular life.
You make regular items into like, you know, fabulous pieces of clothing.
Well,
so,
thanks. I mean, all about the off the shoulder. So at any given time, I'm going to take whatever I'm wearing and cut that shit up. But see, here's the key. Since I don't know how to sew, I can design it and tell someone exactly what to do. And I take it to my tailor who is just... charges me like $5, but like I tell her, cut it exactly here and make it this low right here, and then she marks it up for me and she does the actual sewing though. So I'm like the new version of Project Runway where I have a seamstress.
You have a seamstress, but you've already got the design laid out.
Yeah, exactly. Completely. And I may even have a pattern that I may have made in some some form or fashion.
She might bring some bedazzling things.
I don't know what I'm gonna bring. We'll see. But so, okay, so do you want to like leap into the, I don't know, do you want to talk about the workroom? We got to talk about the workroom.
Right? Well, we have to talk about the workroom because I think the whole point of this show, right, was all about family.
It certainly was. The theme was family. So who did you watch this with, speaking of family?
I didn't. I watched it by myself, solo.
Oh, wow.
I was lonesome.
Wow.
Wow.
On this Guys. The day of the family episode, you watched it alone.
Watched it alone while you watched it with your 8 million children.
Yeah. I watched it with two of my children and a nephew. And, you know, I have to say, my nephew is young. He's only 11, and he had never been exposed at all to RuPaul. He had no idea who RuPaul even was. So when it came on in true 11-year-old fashion, there was some like, what's this? Bah! You know, kind of like snarking, you know? And I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is not the kind of time. Aunt Caroline's a jokester, and I am, but this is not the time that we're ripping on people here, okay? That's not what we do at all with this. Right. And he's like, okay. And so he kind of backed off. And I'm telling you, by the time we got to the Rue mentorship portion of it all, and each person was like telling their stories, he was absolutely roped in and was like, everyone really has a great story. And I was
not
like,
a dry eye in the joint.
I was like, do you see? I was like, drag, they are performers. You know, this is how they express themselves. And he's like, well, at first I didn't understand if they were a man or a woman. So it was helpful for me to understand their gender.
Oh,
that's what he said. That's what he said. No, that's what he said though. And I was like, what? I was like, okay, well, now you know. I was like, so they're men, but they dress in drag as a way to express themselves and as performers. And so, you know, you can watch them get ready, like behind the scenes and stuff. And I think it was actually that transformation part that helped him get it. Like, because even when they would show the confessional and they would show like Jujubee not in drag and then Jujubee back in the workroom, he'd be like, I don't understand who Jujubee, like he could not make the connection.
Right. Who are these two people?
Was that person. These were both the same people, you know? It was like a little bit of a mind-blowing experience, but then they were supposed to go swimming before the elimination and he was like, I can't go. I want to watch who gets voted off.
See?
Sucked in.
Yeah, sucked in. Absolutely.
And he's hollering.
I love that.
Mom, we got to get VH1. I want to watch this. RuPaul, and you watch this. I like this show. It's so good. They're just expressing themselves. Come in here. They're expressing themselves.
That's amazing.
I know.
So that makes my heart so happy.
I know. But then all the parts where they're like, I'm wet between the legs. I'm like, let it go by. Let it go by.
Let it go by.
Don't notice.
When they say bitch for the 5 millionth time. I honestly think we should drink every time they say bitch at the show. We'd be drunk within like 10 minutes. We'd be out. We'd be plastered on the ground.
Bitch, we would be. That's
like,
true. That's amazing. I love it. So let's get into the Rue mentorship because we had each of them lined up with Alexis saying that she sewed a little, but she was mostly a hot gluer. Miss Cracker said she sewed about half of her outfits. Shay was a theater costume major.
I know, right?
Blair, I'm still uncertain. It was not nearly as clear as what level of sewing capacity she had. And then Jujubee with her whole, I'm so confident. Bitch, I'm lying. I'm scared. I'm going to poop myself. But then we saw the outfit she came out with. So then it is a bit of a, I kind of think she wasn't really that scared.
Well, I think actually, if we think about Blair and some of the stuff that she's done, she's quite adept with a sewing machine and making her own stuff. I have a feeling, even though she put together something that looked a little, I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
Let's say messy is the nice way to put it, but, you know, thrown together. But she really was trying to make a statement, which I'm all for making a statement.
But sometimes
things that are not
too much, you know?
Conventional.
Yeah, well, yeah, but this was all unconventional. So
runway. It was supposed to be unconventional. It was runway. Why not?
But I think it wasn't actually extravagant. There wasn't enough going on with hers. It was actually too plain.
Yeah.
That was my issue.
You thought it was too plain. Oh, interesting.
Well, because it didn't, like, you had to either choose some of the materials that were obviously barbecue. Like, say she made it out of the artificial turf or something. That would have been interesting. But those pastel colors and stuff, like, none of it said backyard barbecue to me.
Well, and that's what I did feel like that. I think I wrote that down because I was like, well, where exactly is that from the barbecue?
I'm not sure. I'm really not sure.
Where would that be found in the backyard? I don't know. I've never seen those colors.
It might have been a blanket collection or something on the ground. brown, but everybody else had the checkered and the red and the blue and the very obvious.
Gingham.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. I mean, gingham, but additionally, like even like look at say Alexis's, like her outfit was all red with the solo cups and all that kind of stuff. Right. So red, blues, whites, these are all the colors you expect and not those soft pastel colors. I don't know. It just threw me completely. I didn't like it.
She's been consistently stepping out of the box. Like everybody, if everybody else is in the box, she's always stepped out of it the entire season so far. So she's kind of staying consistent to her own self. I think it would be strange if she just fell in line and did what everybody else was doing because she has not done that yet.
You're 100% right about that. And it works so long as your outside the box look works.
Right.
So it's like you can't be outside the box for the sake of being outside the box. You still have to rise to the challenge and be of interest. You know, it just wasn't a runway look to me.
I think that her luck is running thin right now.
I think so.
I'm just saying.
Let's get into the mentorships when Rue's coming around and everyone's telling their little stories.
This is the time where I really, truly love the show because, one, you get to know RuPaul a little bit more. He kind of lets his guard down and shares more with the queens and with the audience, which I love because I think he's a really guarded person, right? Like we were talking in the last podcast with Mary, how he like shut all his social media down just recently.
Yeah, yeah.
And I still don't know why, but he didn't have social media until I would say less than a couple years ago. He was new to the game and then now he shut it down. And so I think him just being a guarded individual in general comes from his background and everything he's been through and all of his life experiences. And it's nice to see him talk to them and mentor them and just kind of like, I don't know, he's so positive, you know, he always pumps them up. And I love that about him. I only saw him talk to three of them.
I saw him talk to Alexis, to
Shay, and then Jujubee, right? Because I didn't see him talk to Cracker or Blair. And I thought that was interesting. Maybe for time-wise, they edited them out.
That sure makes me worried because you know what that shit means.
I don't know.
Whenever you get people's backstories, that's always a little nerve-wracking.
True.
Or if we don't get your backstory like Blair and Miss Cracker, then we should have known they were safe.
Good point.
That's how reality shows work, people.
Damn it.
So I appreciated this whole theme of family and everybody, when you're talking about diversity, it's so beyond skin color. It's so beyond things you can see with your eyes in any way. The whole idea of having Alexis's entire family be in Puerto Rico and she's the only one who's here and she feels like she only has Vanjie. I appreciated the little moment of actually asking some questions. I know this is like kind of leaping ahead, but of asking the questions of like, you know, how she was feeling about having Vanjie there and how it was really mixed feelings. From this past week because she didn't want to go home in front of her daughter, you know,
right,
and that was like all fair. But you guys called that. You knew that that was why things were being so uncomfortable for her.
Yeah, that would have been really, really shitty. When they flashed back to her face, I was like, oh God, her face looked terrified.
Yeah.
in that moment. And I was like, this poor girl, she's going to like have to go home in front of her daughter.
I know.
And have her daughter to be the one to call her out. You know, that would be the worst. So.
Oh my God, but it's terrible.
I actually really like Alexis and I like the way, and I may be like the one that is believing her because I believe that she was telling the truth and we can go back and forth and go back into this whole thing again and I don't really want to, but the point is I believe she was telling the truth. So I really do like her as a person and as a drag queen. She's an all-star. I do firmly believe she had a place in the lineup and I just love the story, she said, you know, and she was trying to like make it and she's done so much for other people. So as a drag mother, she's mentored all these now two queens that we've seen. I don't know how many more have the Mateo name.
Yeah.
But yeah, like that's a pretty cool thing to have behind your name. So I don't know. I was excited about that. It just, she might have had a struggle, but as compared to like Shay and Jujubee, it wasn't the huge struggle that they had, you know, that those stories.
I appreciated Juju's story in that she really was talking so much about how she had gone down some wrong roads. And her one line where she said, I'm not completely found, but I'm not as lost as I was. I was like, Juju.
Yeah.
I mean, the entire story I couldn't believe it. Her dad dies, the mom just leaves them, and her sisters end up in foster care. Mm-hmm. First of all, I should, this is an option. Moms can just like leave.
Peace out. Yeah.
Hold up.
Don't you know? They can just walk the fuck out.
I'm starting to wonder how many quarantine foster children there's going to be, because there are some moms ready to walk out. No?
We are all at the breaking point. Right. Bish.
Right, exactly. I'm just saying, we love all the children.
I'm about to poop myself over here.
You're like, I've got this quarantine. Bitch, I'm scared. I'm terrified. Bitch, I'm scared. I'm going to poop myself.
Poop myself every day.
As the schools are coming out with their fall plan for everyone to stay home again, is that a lot of people are walking around saying, I'm cool, I got this. Bitch, I'm scared. I'm going to poop myself. I mean, come on.
That should be our new motto for everyday life.
Fuck yeah. As soon as everyone's acting full of confidence, I'm going to real low talk you. I'm feel like, bitch, I'm scared. I'm going to poop myself. We've been in those situations when we got up over our heads.
Right. The kids are like, "What? Are you okay, Mom? Is everything good?" Oh, yeah, we're great. Everything's great. It's going to be fine. You're going to just get through this. It's going to be a great semester. Caroline.
Look directly into the camera. Bitch, I'm scared. I'm going to poop myself. We should just start setting cameras up around the house, and like as shit's going down, just look directly into the camera and say that. Oh, that'd be amazing. Oh, man, yes.
That would be amazing. But
so, I mean, Jujubee, I love her so much, and I loved Rue when he's like, he's all talking to her. He's like, so you haven't cut, patterned, or done anything yet? So I'm gonna leave you to it. Oh my god.
Go ahead and get to whatever that is that you're trying to do there.
Oh my god.
If not, we're gonna have to send in the backup seamstress. Because you don't have shit.
Talk to me about Shay. What did you think about her story?
This is my first introduction with Shay. I'd never seen her in her past season. So when she talked about her dad passing away and then the older sister passing away, wow. I mean, what an incredible like story of trying to rise above and still continue to compete, even though the reason she wanted to compete was to show her father what she could do. To make him proud of her. And I will have to say, the strength and the sweetness when they were talking, it made me just like tear up. It really, really made me tear up because I just wanted to like reach out and give her a hug. Like, you got this. You got this. You can do this. You know, you deserve this.
I think it always feels like that lost moment when you have someone that's working so hard for something and right before they achieve it, a loved one who they really were doing this for passes away and they don't get to see them actually get to that goal. And that's mm-hmm. how I felt about Shay, that it was just like, you know, this was something that she really wanted her dad to be cheering in the crowd and it just, you know, didn't happen in time. So for sure, I think all three of these, like you said, you know, we had the spotlight, we understood them better, but it definitely made me feel like, oh no.
Yeah. It gives you a better perspective though of who you truly want to win this money.
Yeah, I agree. I want Jujubee to win. I just do. I think Shay, I love it, deserves it, no doubt at all. But there's something about Jujubee's heart that feels like, I don't know, I just, there's some camaraderie there, you know?
It's almost like Shay, I feel like this is how I would put it. I feel like Shay deserves to win. Jujubee needs to win.
Yes.
You know, even though they're on pretty much the same, almost the same level, but I just feel like Shay has just like this little edge over her, but Jujubee needs to win, needs it. She absolutely needs it. And I don't think that Shay needs it as much. I really want to see them like battle the shit out towards the end.
I know, really this is exciting. Okay, so then we had this strange dynamic set up between Blair and Miss Cracker that I did not see coming. This whole like extra St. Clair, like talking about, oh, and she goes places in her outfits and everybody's like super into her. And Miss Cracker's like, okay, Blair, like very over it. What's the sudden drama here?
I don't know. I feel like there's jealousy. That's what I feel like. I feel like Cracker is jealous of Blair somehow, and I don't know why, because he's just fucking insecure. That's what it is. Mm. And Blair does not have insecurities. Well, maybe she does, but not as deep as Cracker does. And I just feel like Cracker uses comedy to just cover up that. And I don't, I don't know. It just seemed like he was like just being a little extra nasty and snarky.
Yeah.
Don't you think or not? Or am I missing the mark?
I'm not sure. I think there's something here that I'm a little uncertain of. I think that they are both occupying much of the same space. When we were talking about how you said there's like two white queens and that kind of thing, like, mm-hmm. I think they're occupying the same space. One's younger, one's more, I'm going to say, stereotypically attractive than the other.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So one's kind of the pretty girl, and one's kind of the funny girl,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but they're trying to occupy the same space.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's like, well, what's more important? You know, somebody who has this sort of more artistic and also is more classically beautiful versus the person who is cute and pretty and funny, but doesn't rise to that same level of like attractiveness.
Yeah.
I don't know, but they're kind of occupying the same space. So that's where I feel like we're getting that headbutting.
Well, this week, definitely Cracker won out that challenge. So,
oh my God.
I mean, if there was like, oh, who's on the top, who's on the bottom, it wasn't like they were occupying the same space in this week's challenge because they were clearly like one wins and one is on the bottom. You know what
well,
I mean?
Okay. So everyone is in this particular challenge. Everyone is trying to be the funny one, which is different. Then in some challenges,
right.
It's okay to just be beautiful. Like you were talking about, there was a lot here that you had to be physically funny and have your voiceover be hilarious at the same time. Let's get into that a little bit. This like real cousin business. This play cousin. How do I say? Yeah, let's say that. So let's get into this country cousin realness. Did you like that they brought out RuPaul's actual fam?
Oh, that was so cute. Yeah, I listened to his podcast with Michelle and he always talks about his sisters. And so I had never actually seen a picture of them. So that was kind of funny. I was like, oh my gosh, these are the sisters.
I love it in Untucked how they like actually showed footage from the family reunion and RuPaul performing and then them going through the pictures and then being like, you know, all like, which do you hate more? Like my dimples or that was so
you
cute.
Know, that's how they were as they were growing up too. Like he was like all about me, me, me.
Oh my God,
and they were just
so
like
cute.
Probably rolling their eyes.
And they were both like, silence.
Right.
I loved it.
Yeah, it was great. That's definitely like older sisters would do, right? I mean,
yes.
I loved it.
Yes.
Yeah,
let's
so the country cousins.
Yes.
What was your favorite look? Let's start there. What was your favorite?
Okay, so like, I'm going to go with like look I would wear Jujubee like all day long. I would wear those jean shorts.
Girl, I already knew.
I'd wear that big hat because I'm a hat girl completely. I'd wear that little top like, and I would rock it. Like, I think I have those sandals except for they're in tan.
Oh my God.
And I would like shred that runway.
A bodysuit, yes. Those jean shorts. I know.
Yes.
What cracked me up and she was like, I'm your Asian bestie. And then she said her name, whatever her Asian name, and then she goes, but I go by Amber.
The way that she said it, she goes, my name is Ping. She said it like real funny. She goes, my name is Ping, but I go by Amber.
Amber.
That is super funny.
Oh, God.
I just loved it.
I had me rolling.
She was fantastic the entire time. I just think she was just so, so funny. And she was beautiful. Yeah. Like, I loved that outfit. Which outfit were you drooling over?
I would say I was not drooling over anything, but I did love Shay's whole look and the whole like airbrushed big shirt with the denim thigh high boots.
Yes,
bitch,
see,
I could
see you wearing that though. Like if we were gonna be
denim high,
if we were gonna be country cousin realness, right? If we were gonna go that way, wearing an airbrushed shirt like it seemed like you got it from Six Flags at one of those like at one of those kiosks. Right?
Yes,
where you're like, you're like, I need to honor my Grandria.
I,
you know?
We actually have those. We have some of those in
I'm
our
sure
closets
you
here.
Do. The caricatures.
My in-laws totally came here and like went to the kiosk and was like, created one for my husband.
Shut
and
up.
I was like, I'm not joking. And it has the Houston Texans logo. Like, and we, you know how much football we watch in this house.
Oh, like, so much. That matches y'all perfectly.
About as much football as you guys watch. So I was laughing my ass off. So when they like surprised him with it, because it was like we had separated, we come back and they had surprised him with this, like this double XL airbrushed Houston Texans shirt. He was like, oh, thanks.
Oh my God, I love that so much. I want you to put it on and I want you to take a picture of this, please.
Shh, don't tell anybody, but I think it went to Goodwill already.
Oh no. Shh. Well, if it didn't, I want it on your Instagram. I want some thigh high boots.
If I find that shirt, I promise you, I will put some thigh high boots on in that shirt, yes. And I will strut around.
All I would need is
just to cinch my waist, and I'll be ready.
Oh, not even the point of that damn shirt. Is it just to be the silly shirt that's just like too big? That's like too silly. I mean, it can't even look like put together. Please.
Okay. Look. Okay. So no cinching. Let it go.
No cinching. Oh my God. Okay. And then I loved Cracker. I think that Cracker leaned into the Louisiana part. Perfect.
Wow, yeah.
All that crochet look with the kind of like wild bayou woman. I've seen that woman.
I was going to say, I think we've seen that woman at Walmart. We've
seen that woman. Yeah, so we're in Texas and Louisiana is just a spit away, y'all. And we definitely mix and mingle with some Cajuns. And I would say the cowgirl boots plus the crochet. The boots, yeah. And then that wavy blonde, curly hair.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. Spot on, Cracker. Spot on. Oh my God.
It was
everything
great.
She was saying was hysterical. I loved it. I loved it. She was funny as hell.
Yep. I was trying to figure out a celebrity or somebody that I could relate to. And somebody had said, what did Michelle say when she was like walking, when she walked the runway? I can't remember who she said. They called her out. Oh, Stevie Nicks, wasn't it?
Oh,
was
yeah.
For something else.
Something like that.
It was like, I was like, something like that. I was like, maybe it was the hair.
Yes.
But I was like thinking, I was like, who the hell? But you're right. It might just have been somebody we fucking saw on the street.
We fucking know. That's the thing. It reminded me from, this is going to sound so funny, but like in Princess and the Frog, there's like this, or even other Disney, there's like this one Disney character who has this like blonde, wavy, wiggy hair. She's like a witch, but it's like that whole idea of like kind of that hunched over, like crochet dress falling off your shoulder kind of thing. We know that woman. Aisha, we know that woman. We have seen that woman in the grocery store. We know her.
I think maybe we might have seen it in a meme.
She's a Cajun cousin that you and I know. I clicked in on the Louisiana part when RuPaul said that his family was from Louisiana. I clicked in on that. So I expected more Cajun stuff, actually.
That would have been smart.
One pair of cowboy boots was not what I was expecting.
Well, I mean, like we said, the judges aren't doing the judging. They're just kind of there.
Very true.
You know?
So Blair's NASCAR, I mean, I didn't think it was wrong, but I actually, it's not Louisiana, honey.
It didn't need to be Louisiana. It just needed to be country.
Okay, but that's the wrong part of the country.
Well, I think it's just supposed to be country. Like, well, maybe because Blair just doesn't know what country is, to be honest.
Maybe.
I don't know where Blair's from. And
yeah,
you know what? I'm going to say Blair is from the South, and that's kind of but it was a NASCAR thing. Isn't that where most of NASCAR fans are in the South?
Yeah.
That was the whole thing. She had the mullet. She had the NASCAR shirt. She had the tats, the boots, the fanny pack. I mean, that's pretty country to me.
Yes.
The patent leather boots, maybe not.
Right. Well, that's always going to be a little bit weird. I mean, I'm with you. I was just leaning towards the Louisiana portion of it all.
Yeah, it didn't need to be. I don't think it needed to be. It wasn't necessarily Louisiana. It just had to be just like a country look.
Yeah.
And Jujubee really wasn't country either. She just was.
I think that we know that girl too, though. Don't you think? Don't you think we know
that girl?
Like, doesn't she live
then
here?
What? She does. I'm talking to her right now.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. It's you. But what about Alexis then? Her tight Conchita dress that, she came out. She's like with a pink wig.
See, that one's tricky. That one's tricky because I think that you and I do know Tejano cousins.
Oh, yeah. Country.
Right? Country.
Yeah. We got some Tejano cousins. Yeah.
But that exact look isn't it. But I can't explain to you exactly why. I don't know. Can you help me there? Like, that was too polished, too club, not enough backyard barbecue. There's still a tightness and like a shortness about that look, but that wasn't quite right. That was more like you were going out, right?
I don't think Alexis can do ugly drag.
Ah, you know? I love that.
I really don't. I don't think she can. I think if you want to blow the judges away, Alexis should have come in there looking like, not ugly, but totally unconventional drag, like things that are not pretty. And like she's always saying, I do me, I'm going to do Alexis. And so it's kind of interesting. You know, she came in with a tight dress. She's all about form fitting dresses, you know, the wigs, looking good, looking, you know, presenting her body in a certain way. And that was, it was didn't work.
Like I said, I completely agree that that look exists in the world. I don't know. We've seen a lot of women who wear, like, you know, specifically like Tejano outfits that I would consider. And like, I think of someone like, all right, let's pretend. Let's go with like a Selena look or something. Like, that's not quite it. Like, there's a backyard barbecue version of that that isn't club.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't see it.
She just doesn't
just
have it.
It working.
Yeah.
No, it's not. The more we're talking about it,
the more we're like, no.
It's not working. Yeah, no. Nah. Good try, though. Good try, Alexis. Good try. Okay, so we've got the original fashions that we were talking about. And we kind of already talked about these, really. But as we
did
got into
did you raise your hand, Aisha, though?
I did. I raised my hand when I was... I told you. Do you think that I do... I was lying when I say I do it every time?
No, I know you're not.
I put my hand up and there's nobody in the damn room to see it.
Oh, my God. I loved it. So when Rue was at the end of the runway, my nephew goes, who is that? After we've just been watching RuPaul for like the last hour. I was like, that's RuPaul. He was like, oh, my God.
It's his drag race.
Wow.
It's his drag race.
Yeah. I mean, but again, it was that whole like, now he's not wearing his suit and glasses. He's wearing this dress. Now, who is this? It's why are we cheering? Who it is? It's
you
like,
were literally,
oh,
you were literally blowing his mind.
I really was.
Throughout
I really
the
was.
Entire 2 hours.
I'm like, it's just Rue with a wig. He's like, I know it's a wig. I'm like, well, what's the question? Yeah. Although I have to say, while you guys loved the dress last week, this dress this week, I wasn't as...
Oh, I loved it. It was great.
Tell me what you loved about
it. What did you not like the shape?
I didn't. I feel like, you know, I'm a little bit of a one note when it comes to fashion in terms of the first thing it has to be for me is flattering. I don't care what color it is. I don't care what style it is, but it has to look good on that person. It has to
look
flattering.
Fabulous.
But did you think it looked, did it make RuPaul look fabulous?
He always puts his extra little bustle hip stuff in.
Right.
You know, his like, and underneath. So he's always going to have that shape that he creates. It's, I think it's a signature shape, to be honest.
Maybe it's the camera work where it's like they shot it from the side at this angle that was like, it reminded me of Esther's Follies in Austin when the woman wears the dress for Patsy Cline and she keeps reaching down like a carpet bag and pulling stuff out of it. And if you looked at that dress from the side, you would see that it stuck out like 2-3 feet away from her waistline. That's how that dress looked. Like when Rue was like to the side, it just was like so big.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the right word is. It's not just wide, but it's like deep, like in a weird way. I don't know.
It was like 7 feet, so.
And
like,
slender
I like,
AF. So
I know. I feel like it doesn't matter what the fuck he puts on. Like, it's like.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah. Pulls it off. Like, if he was like our height, I mean.
Right.
I be a you're scene. Even taller than me. It would be a scene. We'd look like square rectangle boxes or whatever.
Nice. Well, okay, so let's talk about who can and cannot pull it off on the runway here.
Okay.
So let's start off with Jujubee. So we had this yellow dress, the watermelon lady, she dubs herself. Mm-hmm. I really thought that she did a great job, not only in the actual shape of the dress, but with the careful editing, like a little bit of extra up at the neckline, a little bit of extra at the bottom. That's the kind of stuff where it gets fucked up in an unconventional challenge. They end up adding too much. No one edits and it looks like shit. And I thought Jujubee like held back. I loved all the fake watermelon.
I loved it too. I think Jujubee has a great way of never being over the top when it comes to her fashion and her looks. Like she knows exactly how much to put in and almost errs on the side of not enough.
She relies then on her like sparkling wit to be, absolutely, you know, the most. But I really think that she has that touch of sophistication that is sorely lacking in some of our other competitors, that just like extra little bit of taste that just like she looks in the mirror and takes one thing off like, and that's too much, you know, like she just does it right.
She's got the taste. Exactly. You've been saying that from the beginning.
Oh, yeah. What do you think about Blair? Adult Swim. I love that line.
Yeah. I didn't love the hair. I did love her makeup. I didn't like a lot of it. I mean, I got the fact that she was trying to go high fashion. She kept saying high fashion the whole time. I like a drape. Let me go with these things. I like a drape. I like the way she draped her own body. I love the leg. I just did not love, like we said, that pattern or whatever that
it was like a pastel plaid.
The pastel, the colors. We needed primary. We needed bold. We needed, it just was
sunshine,
not.
You know, backyard, outside.
I was like, is this like supposed to be for like a fashion magazine? Or is this like, we're talking about like a backyard mall, like a backyard barbecue. So it just missed the mark in my opinion.
I agree.
But it wasn't terrible. So I see that's why she was in the bottom but didn't get sent home, you know?
Okay. Are you ready for a head scratcher for me? This is a big head scratcher. Okay. Shay. I was very confused by the end of the day on this one. I appreciated this blue and white napkin gingham pattern that she was utilizing. But the look that she created with lingerie and the assless chaps, but then this like 1920s style veil.
Mosquito net veil.
Aisha, I just didn't get it. I don't.
It was the polar opposite of look in the mirror and take one thing off. It was like, look in the mirror and throw everything you can, see what sticks.
I thought that the flowers were blocking the majority of the design of the front. Like, I couldn't even see it, which kind of made me think something was going awry. And then the way that the veil was happening in the back and was blocking the entire idea of assless chaps made me think something's going awry from the back. Every angle was being blocked.
I like your discerning eye. I didn't even think about that.
Something went wrong.
Okay, here's the deal. This is what I was thinking. When they were in the workroom and you saw that glance of the outfit on the form, I was excited about what we were seeing. That look didn't end up on the runway. It was like, I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, I
was surprised too. When she comes around the corner, I was like, because, and here's the other thing. The camera work on that also told me something was wrong. This is a runway. When she comes around the corner, it is a headshot.
Yeah.
What? That is not what happens. You don't do a headshot.
I need
headshot.
To go back and rewind and check it out.
You know,
again.
You do a full body, like up and down, because we're looking at your whole outfit. And then the way that the flowers were blocking the entire torso, they never panned down. I never really saw the pants, these assless chaps. I never really saw them.
I didn't
see
it either. No.
And then when they turn and she walks away, the netting is opaque. You can see nothing from the head all the way down to the floor. Nothing. Not even her shoulders. Nothing. You can see nothing. What the fuck?
Smoke and mirrors, man. Smoke and mirrors.
Something went wrong with that outfit.
If that was the case, bravo for her for pulling that off and figuring out how to cover up her mistakes. Way to go. Because if it wasn't visible to the judges and the judges didn't call it out, she got away with it. If that was the way she really wanted to play it, though, it just seemed a little much. Let's just say everything actually turned out the way she wanted it. Let's just play that. Even if that was the case, was it the look that you thought she should have come out with? I didn't see it. What Miss Cracker brought was exactly what I was expecting a queen to do. Use the materials that they gave in a very thoughtful way, but very creative. And Miss Cracker did that with the whole badminton theme.
Yeah.
And like,
Cracker
put it all
was
together.
In it for the details. That is where she won it. The earrings.
Exactly.
The little bit on the shoe. The
shoe,
fascinator.
Yeah.
I mean, shut up on the fascinator. Like, when you put all those things together, I was like, oh my God. And even, you know, making jewelry for herself, making the neck piece and everything. I mean, she really thought of everything, as opposed to, you know, again, compare her jewelry and accessories to Blair's. She just put on her own clip-on jewelry stuff from her own bag.
She made a choker or something from some piece of material.
Are you
I can't remember.
Okay. Yes, it was the lace. It was the same lace that...
some sort of lace,
It was the same or crocheted material that Cracker had used for her country cousin outfit. It was that same beigey crochet material. You're right. But as opposed to Cracker, who did all of her accessories with the unconventional materials, you know?
Right.
There was a lot there.
Right.
So at the end of the day... I felt like Alexis, I actually did not have such an issue with her outfit as everyone else did. You know, I
didn't either. I loved it.
I thought the solo cups were smart. And I when I saw the pool on her table when they were working, I was like, oh, she's going to totally use that for like the slip underneath. She's going to use that as, what is the right word?
You thought that? Oh.
Yeah. What's the right word? The part that like puffs it out. It's like tulle, but it's like the thing you wear underneath.
Crinoline. What am I
it
saying?
It is like a crinoline. Yeah. That's right.
Is that the word? I don't know if that's the word.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, for bridal stuff. Yeah, like a crinoline. So almost like a hoop skirt kind of ish action underneath there. I appreciated
it. Which I thought was brilliant.
I thought so too. I really did. I give her a lot of credit. And when she lifted it up, it wasn't like glued to the dress. It was on its own skirting that was then sewn into the dress. That was complicated.
Yeah, it was complicated. And I thought, I mean, yeah, it was probably a little high, like Carson said. Could have been lower to kind of cut her off a little bit. But it was a fucking kiddie pool, Carson. I'm like, give me a break. She used it.
Come on.
Are we really getting that, like, technical at this point? She used a kiddie pool in her dress. Let's be like, bravo, great job, like, move on. This is not actually Project Runway. This is RuPaul's Drag Race.
And going back to the truly unconventional, to using things that are not just fabric unto themselves, only Cracker and Alexis, to me, really utilized things that were not already fabric to make their look really stand out.
Yeah, I agree. I do agree. But I just don't think that they were going to throw Shay under the bus. I don't think they were going
to
do
it. No. And I don't want her to be thrown under the bus. I just, if you sew an outfit and you use accessories to block your outfit, something's wrong. Your crotch is showing. In nine times out of 10, that is what goes wrong in the Project Runway challenges. What they'll say is, I can see her hoo-ha. Like, they'll say shit like that because the models aren't covered in their crotch area. But this was a scenario.
Well, he also said, I haven't fit it to myself yet.
Mm-hmm.
When he was talking to Alexis. So that was, you're right.
It
could have been it just didn't fit.
I don't think it would. I think and an area that you cannot laugh about and that kind of thing would be a crotch misfitting, right? Like in this scenario, especially. I mean, they do everything they can on Project Runway to like blur that out and do stuff like that. But I did not think for a second that they would humiliate a contestant on this show. It's terrible that they allow it to happen on Project Runway because they allow those models to come out with their junk hanging out, however it happens.
But they're models,
that's true. But at the same time, like in this case, I really do think if we could dig up some behind the scenes dirt that the crotch area did not fit and the butt did not fit. Yeah. And that's why it's like just like all covered up. Crazy.
I'm with you on that. And crazy, definitely. Well, all in all, I think that they were all very interesting outfits. There wasn't anything that stood out that was like absolutely like terrible. They should have just never even put it together. You know, they all had great ideas and they were creative. They brought their A game. Let's say Shay probably not quite there, but, you know, they mostly brought their A games for this. And so, I mean, I was very impressed. Especially to create two full looks for the day or for the challenge. You know?
I agree. I think that both looks were very competent for everybody. Everyone brought something that would have beat other previous challengers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it made me feel like this was like definitely like the cream of the crop we were getting here.
Right.
So the judges said Alexis and Blair were the worst. Did you agree?
I agree. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I don't think they were going to throw Shay under the bus because... Let's just say if we said that Alexis's gown was better than Shay's, so that means Shay would get the knockoff there. But in the Country Cousin Realness show, Alexis didn't quite make it, but Shay did. So it would be like them two against each other again. You know what I mean? Like they kind of like balanced each other out. And so I think based on past performance, they had to go with Alexis being on the bottom and then Blair with her.
Yeah.
So I agree with those two. And then Cracker winning, which was awesome. And I don't think she expected it, but was hoping for it. And
she deserved it. Between the Country Cousin
part, a roller coaster.
The Country Cousin part was fantastic. And then, you know,
she knocked them both out.
Yeah, she really did. She's a very, very competent contestant. I mean, I think she does fantastic. Yeah. So talk to me about the judges this week.
All right. So, well, there's only, we had Michelle, Carson, and Bebe Rexha. So... That was fun. Bebe Rexha was in that amazing Louis Vuitton number.
I know.
I was like, what is she wearing?
Those
that's high fashion.
The hat action on this episode.
That hat. Is that vinyl?
Probably leather. No,
I don't know if it's leather.
I don't know. Vinyl seems a little bit sad, but maybe.
If Louis Vuitton's thing's on it, it's still expensive as vinyl.
No shit. Good call. Good call. Good call. Okay, so, yeah, so let's talk about the lip sync assassin. Did you expect it to be Roxy Andrews? What did you think?
No, I don't even know who Roxy Andrews is. I mean, I'd heard of her. And like I said, I'd watched so many seasons of the show, but I don't think I'd seen Roxy Andrews. And so I was like trying to scratch my brain, like, where have I, if I've seen her before or not. But when she started dancing, I was like, nope, I haven't seen her, because I would have been following her ass.
Well, okay, so I have to
say, I know for sure.
In watching the Untucked footage, again, talk about blowing everyone's mind. My sister and my nephew were watching this guy who they felt like was just a guy that you would see walking down the street, right? And the funny thing is that they saw him after they saw the thick and juicy reveal, right? So when I point out, so hey guys, this is that same performer now coming to the studio to get ready, their faces were like, the fuck? Because, you know, like, he was wearing like cargo shorts and stuff. And like for that ass to turn into thick and juicy on the stage, they were like just floored. And I mean,
screamed. I don't even know how loud I screamed.
I want to name my ass cheeks.
That last reveal.
I want to name them.
Please
now.
Do, because I was like, I slammed my hand down on my on my notes, and I was like, yes! Because the first reveal, I already, you know, when you saw the whole, you know, feather.
Yeah.
It
was like the ostrich plume. I don't know. It was sort of like a jackety kind of like
a coat.
Hold on, let me think of the right words. It was like a
cape, if you will.
Yeah. Okay.
A feather cape.
A cape.
And when she revealed that into that beautiful red glitter number with the sheer and the bodysuit, I was like, girl. I mean, then when Thick and Juicy made their appearance, I screamed. I mean, shut it down. Cracker had no chance. I was like, I don't even know why you're on the stage. Leave, please.
I want to give credit to Vulture because I read this article about this particular episode, and they said, Roxy's ass cheeks have spoken. It's time for Alexis to sashay away. I was like, Roxy's ass cheeks have spoken.
And they speak it loud and clear. I was like, my eyes were like huge. You don't know, they were like blowing up. I mean, he said, I want to give them that gag factor. I'm like, you sure did. That was a gag factor. You gagged us. Thank you. Like,
so then when they kept saying that, I had to then explain to, again, my home audience that gagging means being speechless. And so I was there because they're all like gagging them. I was like, yeah, it means to make speechless. Like, I was like,
I'm telling you, it's a whole other language.
Hey, I was just trying to indoctrinate this group here a little bit, you know.
I think they're in. I think you did a good job.
Maybe I should say initiate. Well, I should initiate this crew into this talk, into this language.
Not indoctrinate.
Okay. No, I
don't. Just initiate. Well, did you like Cracker's little like skibbity doo walk that she was doing in the beginning? Did you see that little
skibbity doo?
She was like, I don't know how she was walking. Like, there was a little dance move she did as she was like walking, like a robot kind of walk.
Yeah.
I was laughing so hard.
So again,
like,
though,
Caroline's gonna be like, "What the fuck with that dance move?" I already know it.
Silly, sexy. We're going back to that. I mean, you've got thick and juicy. Nope. You know, you've got thick and juicy, and then you're doing this robot shibbity walk.
Always wins over silly, sexy.
Oh,
thick and juicy.
Well, okay, I think over the top sexy can definitely, you know, win the day, I would say. But I just like, oh my God. I mean, hello, if you have thick and juicy written across your ass, I mean, everyone else should just go home.
Man, well, everybody else seemed like all these other lip sync assassins kind of came and played it down.
Ooh.
And I was like, this is how you do it, Roxy. This is how you come and show these bitches up. Like, she shut it down. And the makeup was on point, like her contouring, her nose looked like a thin line.
Yeah,
first of all,
Yeah.
The makeup was beautiful. Like everything about the boots, the bedazzled boots. Oh my, like I can't. All of it was everything. All of that was everything to me. So I am a new fan. I'll be following her on Instagram as quick as possible. So I'm all over her.
I will
be going to a show.
I want you to help me name my ass cheeks, because I definitely feel like while they, I don't know that they are Roxy Andrews level, but I would like to have some ass cheek goals for quarantine, I think. Okay. And it feels
you
like
you want me to make you a sash?
Right. Would you?
Once we create that,
yes. I will make you a sash. Yes. Yes.
And I'm going to take some I'll take the pictures.
Oh my goodness. And then I'll be all like, I'm good. I'm confident. Bitch, I'm scared. I'm going to poop my pants.
To the sesh.
Oh my God. Oh my God. So this week we say goodbye to Alexis. I really did not feel all that sad about it. I mean, I was like, you're pretty much the one that was obvious to leave here. But now we have a tight four, Aish. I mean, to me, I think, I don't know how to say this because I don't want to hurt your feelings. But
I know what you're going to say. And I know. I know.
Blair is okay, beautiful. Okay, Blair is beautiful. She is beautiful. But she feels like a beautifully sculptured ice carving that is melting away. She's delicate and beautiful, and bye-bye. I think she's going to be heading out, because I just think that the personalities of Jujubee, Shay, and Miss Cracker just cannot be denied. They have everything.
Yeah, it pains me deep down in my heart to say this, but I also agree that Blair's just not bringing it, and I'm really, really sad.
I think that she's very young, and I will say, because you have schooled me well, that she just needs more depth to her drag. It's just not there yet.
Yeah, she does.
She's got these great, great parts to her, and she is absolutely stunning, but that isn't enough when it comes to performance. You can't just come out and stand there and be beautiful.
No, like, you're
you
right.
You have to
you're
be
right.
able to perform. And I haven't seen the performance out of her yet. So I'm afraid. Sister's head now.
I know. I'm afraid too. And let's say this. If she does next week.
Yes.
Get the boot.
Yes.
The top three are the top three that I really truly would want in the end.
I agree. They're the most quality. They're the ones with the most levels. They've also been solid competitors. They're strong, but none of them have been the drama shit stirrers. You know, they've been like the OGs, it feels like, you know, in a lot of ways. Like, they're just so strong and solid.
Well, I think Cracker started off a little weebly, but got it together. Got his shit together and decided to close his mouth.
Yeah. So it was a good move. Good move.
It was a good move. It was a good move. Like, be quiet.
Was there anything else that
and
you
hey,
found?
Hey.
Yeah.
Yes. As you said, is there anything I found interesting? Hey, how about this?
Yeah.
In Untucked.
Yes.
We find out that India and Alexis work together.
Yes.
Big WTF.
What?
On that.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know. And that whole Michelle Visage cry on my shoulder time, I was like, although again, I have to say, in that interaction, to me, Alexis was so unflappable. Like, when they asked the questions about, why do you think she did this? Did you do this? I mean, she was like, I didn't do it. I mean, I have three teenagers. I feel like I look at faces every day about who's telling the truth. And I am looking
Vegan,
at Alexis's face, and I'm saying, I don't know, man. I think Alexis is telling the
truth. That's what I'm saying. It's like, at that mom gut that, like, you know, you just know who's lying, who's not lying. I agree with you. I have that same feeling. Like, she hasn't wavered.
Mm-mm.
And granted, India's not there to defend herself. She just dropped that bomb and left, which is, you know.
But then
whatever.
Sprinkled some little IEDs around the workroom, like, to just blow up throughout the episode.
Just read my notes whenever you feel like it. Whenever
you
have a chance.
Were you shocked about the Alexis one?
Yeah. See,
that all it said was like, I love you. I still love you. Like, that kind of business.
Do you think, okay, let me just drop this on you and see what you think. Do you think they came up with that plan before, knowing that they may have known each other, to just cause drama, to just make themselves bigger than they were? Like, if something were to go down, let's cause drama by doing this.
I am 100% fine with going with that.
it almost seems like too strange that they worked together, they knew each other, then that no, I still love you. It just seems like really, really convenient that like, is this all the shit made up? Was this all just drummed up for like attention?
A little bit. Some of this stuff when it comes to personalities, I feel like could be a little akin to like WWF in terms of like rivalries. Where, like, you know, mm-hmm. Sergeant Slaughter and Hulk Hogan ate dinner together afterwards or whatever. Yeah, like, yeah. I'm not even using good examples. That's... The Undertaker and whomever, right? I don't remember all their names
or who fought who.
I don't know right. who was the good guys and the bad guys, though. I think Hulk was good. And I'm thinking The Undertaker is probably bad. But you know, they probably were eating Slim Jims in the back together. Like, they weren't actually upset at one another, right? What did they say? Like... Step into a Slim Jim.
Oh my God.
Well, but you know what I'm saying, right? All- like, is it possible for the sake of their own show and the sake of their own stuff back in Vegas that maybe they even play up a little rivalry or do some fun about it? I mean, it would put asses in seats.
Right. It may not happen. But you know what's going, you know what they're doing is they've created plenty of talk on the internet about those two queens. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been no lack of talking about it when it comes to the community of the whole RuPaul's Drag Race and all the fans that go with it. I don't know. I just feel like there's something just a little underhanded and schemey in this whole thing. And I'm just like over it. And I just want to stop talking about it now that they're both gone and eliminated. But I'm sure we will find out more when it comes to whatever reunion they put together on Zoom or whatever we're going to get.
I cannot wait.
You know, yeah, we'll find out. If not, if we don't find out at that point, I'm going to definitely call bullshit on the whole thing.
You're going to storm the RuPaul
stage. I'm storming out.
No. You sashay away.
until the next season.
Oh my God. I love that so much. How many more episodes do we have left, Aish? This was number 6.
I'm going to say 4 more. One's the finale.
Right. Which would be, have 2 sitting there. So we only have...
So I think it's really 2 more. And then there's one that's going to be like a reunion. And then one's the finale.
Okay. That seems right.
That's what I'm guessing. I have not looked. I apologize for not doing my due diligence. But that's what I'm guessing. That usually they have a reunion show or some sort of like get back together. It's called where they dish the tea and they talk about all the bullshit from the seasons. When they bring it all back up and everybody can like fight over it. So I usually skip that one because I'm like...
Oh, I'm ready
for
fighting.
Through the whole thing.
I want to. I want to fight. I want to hear all of it. This is quarantine. I've got nothing else better to do than watch this situation go down.
I want to see this fighting.
I'll be wearing my glow outfit from Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling with my ass sash across my ass with my new name.
With your Slim Jim?
Ass with my Slim Jims. And I'll be like, Slim Jim. Step into a Slim Jim. So weird. Oh my god. Well, another great episode, Aisha. I'm so glad to have gotten to talk to you again today. So this is Caroline
and this is Aisha.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening. This has been an original Pod Clubhouse production. Pod Clubhouse is a podcast network dedicated to encouraging collaboration among podcasters and friends to bring a fresh voice and diverse perspective on a wide array of content. Please visit and leave a comment for us at podclubhouse.com. Rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast feeds on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find us at Pod Clubhouse. Our DMs are always open, and we'd love to hear from you.
Pod Clubhouse.